You ever have a word that just kind of lingers in your mind, a word of scripture or a phrase or maybe even a verse, and it just kind of sits in your mind for a while, and you try to go on with your day and try to change the subject or the topic, but it just keeps coming back. Anybody been there? The word for me today was ensample. Who's ever heard of the word ensample? It's kind of a weird word. Maybe that's why it stuck in my mind so much. Ensample, I just couldn't get it out of my mind. It's like, okay, I'm going to do a little researching and see exactly what that means. If it's, you know, like it sounds, other words, maybe example or, you know, samples. But I found that it's referenced about three times in the scripture. And I think the most commonplace or the place we recognize it the most is in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to turn there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we'll start at verse 5. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia," not to be confused with IKEA. Verse 8 says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia," or Achaia possibly, "but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything." This is the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Thessalonica, but specifically to the ones that he had witnessed to. He had gave the gospel to, and they became converted. They became disciples as he was. They became followers. And in verse 5, they hear the gospel. Said, we gave you the gospel not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. They had confidence about it. "As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." He's talking about their witness. He's saying, we witnessed to you guys, and we deliver the gospel, and you knew who we were. You knew what manner of men we were. We became examples for you. We were witnesses to you. And you responded to the gospel that we brought to you. And in 6, "you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost." Apparently, there had been some people in Thessalonica that had been in some affliction, that had been in some situation less than positive, but they received the gospel, they received the word with joy, the joy of the Holy Ghost. In verse 7, so that you are now in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. I'm going to struggle with that word until someone corrects me. All right. But he's saying, now you have become the witnesses. We witnessed to you, and now you've become converted. Now you are the witnesses to the rest of the people around you, Macedonia. Verse 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything." They're saying, we don't even have to say anything anymore because you guys are it. You guys have become our witness because now you're your own witness. You guys have become the converts, and now it's time for you to make converts yourself. In verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Amen. I want to talk a little bit about examples and in samples. And my favorite, samples. When I was, forgive me, I'm quite unspiritual at times. When I was first reading this, the only thing I could think of was Costco. Anybody heard of Costco? Who likes Costco? I love Costco. Costco is wonderful. They have some of the best things out there. They have Costco muffins. Anybody had Costco muffins? About yay big and delicious. I believe you can buy 12 of them for $6, something like that. Costco also has, they have a lot of things. They have a huge produce section. You can get some pretty cheap, good quality stuff. But in general, Costco is a pretty quality store. The stuff you buy there, you're pretty much assured you'll get some form of quality in the product you get. And you'll pay a pretty fair price. That's kind of the general idea. Aisles are huge. Carts are huge. I like having lots of room pushing down the aisle. Don't bump into a lot of people, hopefully. They give you big carts for a reason, because they want you to fill them up. And it's easy to do. But the best part about Costco, and I haven't even talked about the food on the way out yet, where you can get a foot-long churro for $1. You can get an extra-large hot dog and a drink for $1.50. I could go on. I know that pricing. I've been there a time or two, as you can tell. But the best part about Costco are the samples. Without a doubt, Costco is known for and is wonderful for the samples. Anybody had samples from Costco? Growing up, we were a pretty frugal family. When we went, we did some shopping. We lived out in the boondocks. We didn't really have anything near us, so if we wanted to do some major shopping, we'd go to Yakima, and in Yakima they had a Costco. So we would plan it just right. My mom was very intelligent on this. We would go to Costco, and the thing is, Costco's a huge store, and if you plan it right, there'll be end table samples set up all the way down the aisles, down the main aisleways, and you can walk from one end to the other and pretty much have lunch by the time you get back to the front door. And the thing about samples is it's free. They don't charge you for it. Of course, now they don't give you this huge portion or anything, but the idea of a sample is they want to give you just a little bit. They want to give you enough to give you a taste. See what this product's all about. They understand, and it's a clever marketing plan. You know, there's two types of samples. There's one sample that's involved with testing. Sometimes it's for quality or health. You go have your checkups with a doctor, and sometimes they'll take a blood sample or some type of sample. Those are the bad samples. You don't want to be a part of those samples. But the good samples are the ones where a company will market their product to the consumer or a consumer base. They'll try to grow their consumer base by giving away free stuff. That's the good samples. And they know that we're going to take somewhat of a hit. We're going to take somewhat of a loss. We're going to give away product for free. But the idea is we're going to gain customers. So we know we're going to give 100 people this free product. in the hopes that they'll set their targets, in the hopes that we'll get 10 customers to return and buy the product. And there's incredible amounts of research and business planning that goes into this, but the idea of a sample is to get you to buy something. It's to get you to enjoy a product and get you to spend money on the product. I can't help but think that we are samples of God. We are God's product. You and I are the end sample, the end table sampling, and day to day people come by and look at our table and see if that's something they want to try or not. They'll come by and you know, I've been around a few sampling booths, and I don't take every single sample that's offered to me. There's some samples that I've turned down, quite a few, because it just didn't sound appetizing or didn't sound like, I mean, Costco, for example, you can go from one end and try their apple juice in this corner and then walk over here and get a Zip Fizz and then get some kind of weird concoction, tomato juice, have somebody mix you something up. But not everything sounds appetizing, right? You don't always take every sample offered to you, but there are some things that pique your interest and then kind of get you to think a little bit, kind of get your appetite going a little bit. And there are some things that you try and you like and you buy. And there are other things you try, you don't like, and you don't buy. But the object of a sample is just to be get it out to the consumer, get it out to the possible consumer base. The sample is not worried about if they're going to taste good or not. I think the biggest wall for personal evangelism and personal sharing of your testimony is, well, what if they don't like it? Well, what if they don't like what I have to say? What if they don't? What if they're not interested? And that can quickly become a stumbling block for us in our witness, and it keeps us from being a sample. Are you with me? All right, we're going to go to Psalms chapter 34 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 34, verse 1. This is a pretty common psalm, a psalm of praise. When I read it, it really jumped out to me how much of about evangelism this psalm is. It's about witnessing. Let's go through it. Psalm chapter 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We'll just go ahead and read through it. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Never before did I see the application to soul winning that this scripture has. In verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. If we're continuously praising the Lord, if at all times, this word praise literally translates to a hymn or a song. It's the Hebrew word, here we go, tehillah. or something like that. But it means specifically a hymn or a song. So it's saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His song or his praise, his hymn, this song of praise will continually be in my mouth. Have you ever known someone that likes to sing like all the time? Some are pointing fingers. I have a little bit of a reputation at work for whistling. I don't sing a lot, but I whistle a lot. I don't know. It's just my thing, I guess. I've been told I'm a bit of an old soul and just kind of do things people don't do anymore. But I don't even catch myself doing it, but I'll be whistling as I walk down the aisleway. It's usually noisy. It's industrial at work. It's loud stuff going on. So I don't think I'll offend too many people. So, hey, I'll just whistle. So, you know, usually people hear me coming because I'm whistling before I get there, but there are people that like to sing a lot. And this is specifically saying, singing unto the Lord in praise. And I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise, his song will continually be on my mouth. If you continuously are singing about the Lord, then naturally someone else is going to hear it. If there's continuously a song of praise and a song of worship on your mouth, then that alone will be a witness to somebody. In verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I was a little curious about the word boast here, and as it turns out, that's translated from the Greek halal. Anybody heard the word halal before? Halal is, in the Old Testament, 170 times. About 120 of those times is translated to the word praise. So there's lots of different versions of praise, but this word halal is specifically talking about the expressive worship, the expressive, I call it the Pentecostal worship. I'll just read it for you out of the Strong's definition for halal is to be clear, origin of sound, to shine, hence to make a show, to boast, and thus to be clamorously foolish, to rave. It's funny because this word that's translated into praise 120 times is translated into boast 10 times, and it's translated to mad 8 times. So literally, mad is in crazy. So the line between crazy praise and crazy is sometimes pretty hard to see. But it's the example it's giving. It's this crazy praise unto God. So when it's saying in verse 2, my soul shall make her boast, it's talking about my soul shall make praise. My soul shall make crazy praise unto God. It's this expressive worship unto God, this halal praise, that the humble shall hear thereof. It's this expression of praise coming off of ourselves, and people notice that. People notice craziness, or what they consider to be craziness. It will get one of two reactions. The first reaction quite often is, that's crazy. And the second reaction is, that's crazy, but I kind of like it. We're going to get mixed reactions as a sample. That's normal. You're not always going to get the same reaction because everybody that tries a sample is different. Their taste buds are different. Their readiness for that product is different. But in verse 2, saying, let our boasting, let our praise be seen, and let the humble hear thereof and be glad. Yes, there will be those who reject it and say, you're crazy. You're lunatic. I don't know what you're doing or why you have to be like that. But there's also going to be hearts that are hungry for God. And there's going to be something inside of hearts that respond to the presence of God. Where worship is given and praise is given unto God, His presence is there. And true praise unto him is what draws his presence. Anybody ever boasted to themselves? Not generally. Usually you're boasting, you're talking to somebody. I know of a certain individual who may have or may have not won fantasy football last year. And there's a certain amount of boasting that comes with that. I can't blame this individual too much because I'm afraid I fell in the same trap myself. But to boast means you're telling someone else of greatness. To boast means that you're raising something else up to someone else. You don't boast to yourself unless you're like that. But not most people are. Most people, if they're going to boast, they're going to be telling somebody else about it, right? But let our boasting be as praise unto God. In verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This is a call for a united worship. This is a call for a testimony to be shared. It said, let's worship the Lord together. You can't worship the Lord together by yourself. But if you have someone else to worship with you, and you invite someone to join you in worship, And magnify the Lord. Let's magnify the Lord. Let's make him bigger. Let's raise him up. A few Sundays ago, I found myself before service Googling a couple of words. And I don't know, I'm kind of weird like that. But I was just like, Lord, I want to worship you in a new way. I don't want to just say the same thing every single time. I don't want to always, I know you enjoy the worship, I'm sure, but I just want to worship you in another way. So I Googled exalt and Googled magnify and just tried to see synonyms for those words. What are some other words I can use here? But as we magnify the Lord and as we invite others to magnify him with us, that's outreach. That's witness. That's a testimony. In verse 4 continues with, this is David talking. This is his testimony after he found deliverance. But it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. He's explaining in talking to others about how he sought the Lord. He said he was delivered from fears. So at some point he had fears in his life. He's saying, hey, I've had these issues in my life. I've had these fears. I've been through these things, but I cried to the Lord and he heard me. He's giving his testimony in this psalm. And that is our samples. We can offer people a sample based on what God's done for us. Our sample is, I've been through this. You may be experiencing this fear right now, but I've had fears of my own. I've been through some valleys of my own, and these things that you're going through, I've been through, and I cried out to the Lord. That's our sample. That's our testimony. We cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. He didn't leave me where I was. He didn't leave me in that place of fear, but he heard me and he delivered me. In verse 5, this is the response of the people he's witnessing to. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This word lightened, I won't pronounce it, but it's basically to sparkle or to be cheerful. To become cheerful. We understand and we see on a daily basis people that struggle with different darknesses in their lives. There are different depressions and spirits involved in our world that put people in a tormented place. But he's saying the people that he witnessed to, they look to the Lord. And they were lightened. They became cheerful. They became their load was lightened. Their burdens were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. They were not embarrassed about it. This is a response, again, like Paul was talking to the church in Thessalonica, said, you got this. You are changed. You walked from idols. Now you are the witness. In verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And in verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. In our witnessing, we can come across all kinds of different responses. We can come across people that have no appetite for what we're sharing. Sometimes the best that we can see is, that we can say is, just taste and see. Just see for yourself. If this isn't for you, it's not for you, but just taste it. Try it for yourself. You know, if this God thing doesn't work out for you, what have you lost? You haven't lost anything. You're not paying anything. You don't have to give up anything just to try God out. Give it a shot. What do you have to lose? And sometimes the best thing we can say is just taste it. Just try it. And we are his samples. God has placed us in specific regions, specific areas, and walks of life in different circles. I think very few of us have the same friends outside of here. Very few of us have the same coworkers. Very few of us have the same families. But God places us so that we can be samples. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to be what he wants me to be. I want to be the witness that he wants me to be. I don't want to be concerned to the point of what the reaction will be to what people see. I don't want people to be worried about what people are going to say or think based on my sample, but I want to be pleasing to him and walking in a life that is pleasing to him in a relationship with him, so that hopefully somebody will taste and get just enough to say, that's what I want. That's what I need. I haven't tasted anything like that before. That's by far and away that may be a little crazy, but there's something about it that draws me. There's something about that I have a hunger for and that I have an appetite for. I've been encouraged the last few weeks to see so many visitors on Sunday morning. I believe that God is going to pour out his Spirit, and I believe he's going to open doors for us for continued evangelism. We have to be willing to walk through those doors and be available. I was pretty excited because I had one of my coworkers lined up to come to church last week, and he was saying to the whole office, "Hey, I'm going to church with Nathan on Sunday." And everybody's, "Oh, really? Wow!" And he's just talking about it real freely. Great, pass it around. Everybody, come. I'll give you a ride. But by Friday, he wasn't talking about it anymore, and I'm not writing him off yet by any means, but I believe that God is opening doors and God is opening up ways for us to reach hungry people. And I believe if we'll allow him, we will be used of God to see the harvest and see the harvest brought in. And that is exciting to me. That is truly exciting to be a part of. Why don't we stand tonight? Jesus, we need you tonight, Lord. We need to be who you've called us to be. We need to be the ones, your hands and feet, the the ones that you've called and placed for your purpose, Jesus. Lord, we respond to your call tonight. We respond to your guidance and your wisdom, Jesus. Lord, lead us into paths across people, Lord. Let us touch people that are hungry. Touch people that are hurting. Touch people that are desperate for you, Jesus. Take us to hungry hearts this week, Lord. In Jesus' name, place your burden inside of us, God. Hallelujah. You're more than able, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.